Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Mothering Sunday service and is by James Hiddell, a member of St. James. The readings are taken from John 19, verses 25 to 27, and 2 Corinthians 1, beginning from verse 3. You can watch the whole service on our Facebook page, as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website.
Our first reading this morning is taken from St. John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. Sorry. And this is Jesus, our Lord, dying on the cross. And as he is on the cross, he's thinking about his mother. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his own home. This is the word of the Lord.
The second lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read it from the message because in the NIV, it has the word comfort 4 times in the same sentence. So the start of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 3. All praise to the God and Father of our Master, Jesus the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times, and before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times, so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. We have plenty of hard times that come from following the Messiah, but no more so than the good times of his healing comfort. We get a full measure of that too. When we suffer for Jesus, it works out for your healing and salvation. If we are treated well, given a helping hand and encouraging word, that also works to your benefit, spurring you on, face forward, unflinching. Your hard times are also our hard times. When we see that you're just as willing to endure the hard times as to enjoy the good times, we know you're going to make it, no doubt about it. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. My name's James. I'm part of the leading and preaching team here at St. James. And this morning I'm going to be preaching on the theme of Mother's Day. And in doing so, I hope to not only celebrate the role that maternal figures play in our lives, but also celebrate the divine nature of motherhood and how God reveals himself to us as we think about that vocation today. So let's just pray before we start. Lord God, would you take my words, would you speak through them, would you speak to me, would you speak to us, would you draw us closer to you, and would you reveal your nature to us this morning that we might leave knowing you better and better equipped to live lives that are honouring to you, that please you, and that are what we are made for. Amen. I wonder what you came to church expecting from Mothering Sunday service this morning. What Mother's Day means for each of us will be as different as our varied experiences of mothering and being mothered. For many, this is one of the special church services of the year. It's a chance to honour individual women who have been instrumental in our lives. or if you're a mother yourself, a chance to receive something of that honour. It's okay if you like the attention, it's okay if you don't. Either way, you deserve it. But for many, this is, of course, a very difficult day. For you, this may be a day when you feel the loss of a mother who has passed away. Or perhaps this is the day of a confusing mixture of emotions, because your mother, for one reason or another, was never able to be the loving, caring person you needed. Perhaps you are a mother feeling the loss of a child who passed away far too early. Or perhaps you're a mother whose relationship with your child has broken down, and this is a day when you're reminded of all the mistakes you've made. Or maybe you're not a mother at all, and this day makes you feel that you've simply missed out. All of these difficult feelings are, in one way or another, about grief. Grieving for the mother or child who has passed away, grieving for the relationship that is not what it should be, or grieving for the child that you never held in your arms, despite how tightly they have always been held in your heart. This is a day that inspires a whole load of emotions, some that lift us up, and some that are heavy burdens, weighing us down. Most of us can probably empathize with two or three of these different circumstances. For most of us, this day stirs up a whole load of both thankfulness and grief. The good news is that all of these feelings are completely appropriate things to bring with you to church. So whatever experience of motherhood you have that you're bringing with you today, you're very welcome. And I pray that you'll meet God this morning as you reflect on those experiences, because we've come to worship a God who is present and feels with us in every facet of the human experience. This morning I'm going to spend a bit of time looking at the history of Mothering Sunday as a church tradition. I'm going to consider what it might mean for us here today, but most importantly, how this day can draw us into a deeper relationship with God. The Mothering Sunday, although celebrated with various traditions and customs today, has its roots deeply embedded in the medieval history of England. During the Middle Ages, it was customary for Christians to make a pilgrimage to their mother church, the principal church or cathedral in their area, on the fourth Sunday of Lent. This pilgrimage offered a brief respite from the fasting and penance of Lent. So the term mothering in Mothering Sunday doesn't initially refer to maternal figures, but rather the act of returning to the mother church. It was a day when those who had relocated to find work were given time off by their masters to go home. The tradition of visiting the mother church on this particular Sunday held deep symbolic meaning. It represented a spiritual homecoming, a chance for individuals to reconnect with their community and reaffirm their commitment to their faith. For many, this pilgrimage was not merely a religious obligation, but a joyful reunion with family and friends. The journey to the Mother Church provided an opportunity for loved ones scattered throughout the countryside to come together, share stories, and strengthen family bonds. So in the medieval period, Mothering Sunday was celebrated with a unique blend of religious devotion and family reunions. Pilgrims would gather at their mother church not only to fulfill religious obligations, but to enjoy the rare opportunity for family gatherings and community festivities. The pilgrimage to the mother church was often a long and arduous journey, undertaken with great anticipation and excitement. Families would travel together, sharing stories and songs along the way. And upon reaching the mother church, pilgrims would participate in special services and rituals, seeking spiritual renewal and blessings for the year ahead. These solemn observances were often accompanied by joyful reunions, as I said, with family members and friends, as the church grounds buzzed with love, laughter, music, and celebration. Over time, though, the observance of Mothering Sunday evolved to encompass expressions of appreciation and gratitude towards matriarchal individuals within families and communities. While the tradition of visiting the Mother Church persisted in some regions, the focus gradually shifted towards honouring maternal figures within families. During the 17th to 19th centuries, Mothering Sunday became a day dedicated to expressing gratitude and appreciation for mothers, grandmothers, and other maternal figures. Children began presenting mothers with small gifts, such as flowers or homemade tokens of affection, as a heartfelt gesture of thanks for their nurturing care and guidance. In addition, Mothering Sunday also serves as an occasion for communities to come together and honour maternal figures on a broader scale. Churches would organise special events and services, paying tribute to individual invaluable contributions of mothers to society and the church. And then the Victorian era witnessed a revival of interest in Mothering Sunday as sentimentalism and romanticism swept across society. During this time, the custom of giving gifts and cards to mothers became increasingly popular, shaping many of the modern customs that we have today. Victorian era mothers were often celebrated as paragons of virtue and self-sacrifice, deserving adoration and reverence. Children would meticulously craft elaborate cards and gifts, adorned with intricate designs and heartfelt messages. In the modern era, Mothering Sunday continues to be celebrated with a rich tapestry of customs and traditions adapted to suit changing needs of society. While the religious significance of the pilgrimage to the Mother Church may have faded, the spirit of appreciation and gratitude remains at the heart of the day. Today, Mothering Sunday serves as an opportunity for individuals to honour the maternal figures in their lives and express appreciation for their unwavering love and support. Whether through heartfelt gestures, thoughtful gifts, or simple acts of kindness, people come together to celebrate the profound impact that mothers and motherhood have on our lives. Despite the evolution of customs and traditions over time, the underlying essence of this day is a celebration of love, family, and faith that still endures. At its core, Mothering Sunday is a celebration of the profound love and sacrifice of maternal figures. I wonder how that brief history makes you feel. Regardless of what your individual experience of motherhood has been, I expect there was some cringing at the Victorian idea of mothers as paragons of virtue and self-sacrifice. Even for those of us fortunate to have known the unwavering love of a mother as a child, all through our childhood, the perfect mother has never existed as a living, breathing individual. However well our needs for being mothered as children were met, and however hard they always tried to do their best by us, all of our mothers have ultimately been imperfect human beings, just like us, and just like their mothers before them. We all have a certain degree of unmet need there still. We still need to be nurtured as children, as do our mothers and our children. So where do we turn with this need? Motherhood in its truest form is a vocation marked by service, humility, and devotion, characterized by a willingness to give oneself wholly and unreservedly. It reflects the sacrificial love and selflessness exemplified by Christ himself. Jesus refers to himself as a mother hen as he laments over Jerusalem in Matthew 23, verse 37. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. In doing this, he perfectly reflects the heart of God revealed in Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. The God may always be referred to directly as a father in Scripture, but this is largely due to linguistic limitations than any doctrine of God being fundamentally male and not female. I remember when I was at All Nations Christian College doing a lecture about the nature of God, I think it was specifically on the Trinity, and we got into a discussion about how English and the Hebrew that the Old Testament was written in just didn't have a, let me get this right, it didn't have a personal third-person gender-neutral pronoun. You had to use he or she to convey the idea of it being a person rather than it. So we then got into a discussion amongst all the different languages that were in the room as to which would be the heavenly tongue, and I think we decided the Korean of the ones there was the closest to having a personal but gender-neutral pronoun. I think there are lots of languages around the world that have that, but English doesn't, and Hebrew didn't. The Bible is littered, though, with images of the feminine and maternal nature of God. In the beautifully brief Psalm 131, we read of the psalmist coming to God as a child snuggles down with their mother. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and evermore. Then in Hosea 13, we also see an image of God being consumed, an image of God being consumed by a ferociously dangerous motherly love for his people who have been led astray. And he declares that, like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them. In the prophetic writings of Isaiah, God's maternal attributes are vividly depicted through imagery that portrays his tender love and compassion for his people. In Isaiah 49:15, we read, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you." And here we have a reminder of God's love as a mother going far beyond that of our earthly mothers, no matter how wonderful or not they may have been. Julian of Norwich was a well-known Christian mystic from the Middle Ages who wrote a collection of devotions called Revelations of Divine Love. This is from the 14th and 15th centuries. She gave us sayings such as, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well," as well as some other less well-known reflections that speak profoundly of the nature of God and our relationship to the divine. "He said not, thou shalt not be tempested, thou shalt not be travailed, thou shalt not be diseased, but he said, thou shalt not be overcome." In particular, Julian is famous for her extended comparison of God as a mother. "When a child is hurt or frightened, it runs to its mother for help as fast as it can, and God wants us to do the same, like a humble child, saying, my kind mother, my gracious mother, my dearest mother, take pity on me." And she very simply stated, "Just as God is truly Father, so also is God truly our mother." She also majored quite heavily on God's suffering because of his love. This is very much the picture we have in our gospel reading today, of Jesus suffering on the cross because of his great love. And I think that's a wonderfully circular image there of Jesus turning to the woman who brought him into the world through the pains of childbirth, as he is in the pains of his sacrificial death on the cross to give her new life. I remember reading something once about a woman who struggled with what she considered Julian of Norwich's almost sadistic obsession with suffering until she gave birth to her first child. When, after a drawn-out and really quite traumatic birth, she found herself cradling her newborn baby and telling him that she would have gone through that 1,000 times for his sake. This is the love that God has for us, an all-consuming torrent of devotion that longs to draw us close and protect us, and that would and has suffered all things in order to bring us life. Mothering Sunday offers a timely opportunity to reflect on the virtues of tenderness, compassion, selfless love and comfort, to thank our earthly mothers for all that they have done to embody these virtues in raising us, but to allow them to be human and make mistakes, and to ultimately seek God as our heavenly mother, who alone is capable of meeting the needs of our eternal inner child. So this Mothering Sunday, let's remember the countless ways in which mothers, grandmothers, and caregivers have shaped our lives and nurtured our souls. Let's take this opportunity to express our heartfelt gratitude and appreciation for that unwavering love, sacrifice, and devotion, and to honour their profound impact on our lives. But let's also take time to forgive our mothers for the times they fell short of the ideal of motherhood, the times when they simply didn't have the strength or energy to continue sacrificially giving of themselves for our sake, or the times when their own emotional burdens got between them and us. Let's also take time to acknowledge our own shortcomings as parents. Let's admit to ourselves, to God, and to our children that we've made a lot of mistakes, and sometimes have just been plain selfish when we should have been selfless. I think it's one of the most profound parenting lessons I've learned, the power of admitting to my children when I've done something wrong, when I misunderstood something. I think sometimes as parents, we are subconsciously told, we'll get the idea that we need to be perfect for our children. We need to, and to do that, in doing that, we sometimes put up a wall of falsehood where we don't want to admit our own shortcomings in front of our children. But actually, the thing that really turned my conception of the whole thing around was when I realized my kids know when I've made a mistake. What's scary is if they don't think I realize it. And so to admit your mistakes to your children is extremely, extremely liberating. Let's turn to God, thanking him for the wonderful maternal figures in our lives and asking him to redeem our filial relationships for his sake and ours. Let's turn to him as the perfect mother. Let's seek his comfort, acknowledge the suffering he endures for our sake, and put our hope in him both now and forevermore. So let's give thanks for the gift of Mothering Sunday and the opportunity it provides us to reflect on the boundless love of God and the profound impact of maternal figures in our lives. May this special day fill our hearts with joy, gratitude, and renewed faith. And may its spirit of love and compassion continue to inspire and uplift us for generations to come. I'm going to finish with a prayer that is a slight tweak of the reading we had from Corinthians. Let's pray to finish. Praise be to you, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Mother of compassion and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Amen.
Maybe we can just keep that slide before there. Just a moment for you to respond to that message. Thank you so very much to explore the whole human reality of gratitude and grief and what this talk has maybe stirred in you. And it's very important, I think, to be listening to God and to respond, to maybe make a decision this week, maybe a decision to show your gratitude to your mom, grandmom, or mother figure around you. Maybe there is a need as a parent, as a figure of comforting, to realize we are not perfect. I think that's, for me, the one that spoke mostly this morning. Thank you, James, to realize that, to show that reality with our own children, that we are not perfect, and to say sorry when we need to, is actually a sign of strength and a sign that bring people together. Or maybe something else that you want to take from this talk. So maybe just, you might just keep your eyes open or think about and ready yourself before God.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.